in the epistle for this fourth Sunday in Advent, taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and in the dispensers of the mystery of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day. But neither do I judge my own self, for I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet I am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to the light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. In the Gospel, taking that according to St. Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Etruria, and the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priests of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zachary, in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Thus far the word of today's Holy Gospel. We're in the final stages of the preparation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course at Christmas. But he comes primarily to us. The main coming we're preparing for is the judgment. He's going to come to judge living and the dead at the end of the world. He's going to judge myself at the time of my own death, and each one of us at the moment of our death. And a few final words of preparation for the coming of our Lord. And here a consideration primarily from the epistle and the words of St. Paul concerning judgment. We considered in the very beginning of Advent and also on the last Sunday of the liturgical year, the Sunday before that, on the last Sunday of Pentecost, the end of the world and the final judgment, and the judgment of God. Today we consider my own judgment. That is, not the judgment by which God judges me, but the judgment by which I judge. Every one of us must make judgments. Part of being human, God gave us the power to judge, to decide between things. It's an essential part of our free will. We can't be said to be creatures of free will if we are not able to judge. So we all have to judge. We have to judge ourselves. We have to judge actions and others from time to time. Judgment is something that we have to do. When we are contemplating judgment during this season of Advent, the preparation for heaven and the preparation for the judgment of God, we must also consider our own judgment, the judgment by which we judge, not the judgment by which we are being judged, which is considered in the past, but the judgment by which we ourselves make acts of judgment. And St. Paul talks about his own personal judgment in this sense. Do not judge before the time, he says. Don't judge before the time. And don't even be an infallible judge of your own self. Now in my judgment, we can distinguish between a couple of kinds or a few kinds of judgment. There are my speculative judgments. My judgments about what is true and what is false. These judgments can be infallible. For instance, when I judge that Jesus Christ is God, or when I judge that all the truths that my church, the true church, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church teaches, that I believe all these truths, without any exception, this judgment is infallible. When I judge that God is going to protect me and help me on the way to heaven, that He's going to always give me the grace to be able to save my soul, despite my own weaknesses and foolishnesses and sins, does not mean that I will necessarily save my soul, but I infallibly judge that He will help me at all times until the moment of death. And this judgment is infallible. But what of our practical judgments? We all have to make judgments. Is this a good man? Is that a good man? Is he good? Is he bad? Is she good? Is she bad? Why did they do this? We generally ask that question whenever something bad is done. We don't generally ask it when something good is done. St. Paul refers to himself. I am not even the judge of my own self, for as I look into my own conscience, a man with an ST in front of his name, saint. As I look into my own conscience, I, St. Paul, I am not aware of any sin within it, but I am not hereby justified. For though I do not look guilty to you, and though I'm not aware of guilt before myself, I am neither judged by you nor by myself. I will be judged by God, and therefore I cannot be perfectly sure of my own justice. Because God is the judge of my justice. I'm not the judge of my justice. All of us believe that we are just. Evil men do evil things because they believe themselves just. Good men do good things because they believe themselves just. But God is the judge as to who is good and who is evil, and who is just and who is not. And the wise man is not so secure in his practical judgment. He is infallibly secure in his speculative judgment. And it is interesting that in our age, the world is turned upside down. Man proves his weakness and his humility nowadays by saying, I can't know the truth. And this is a lie, a false humility. But with total infallibility, he says, I'm a good person. I pay most of my taxes and I don't beat my wife very often. Therefore, I am a good person. Whenever it comes to the judgment about me, we stand up with strength, with infallible certitude. The Pope may not be infallible, but I am. I am a good person. That's why I bought a mirror, so that I could get up in the morning and check. Trust me, I looked. I'm handsome, I'm strong, and I'm important, and I am good. And in case I have doubts, I get more mirrors. And so the fact is that we all have infallible judgments about ourselves, but St. Paul, the greatest of all the apostles, the greatest of all the spreaders of the faith of all time, had no infallible judgment about himself. He was not so sure that he, Paul, was good. Bishop Sheen says, when it comes to personal certitude, we cannot be sure of our goodness. We can only be sure of our evil. For I know that I have really committed sin. But do I really know that when I do something good, it doesn't have an imperfect motive? Maybe I'm being good for money. Maybe I'm being good for fame. Maybe I'm being good for pleasure. Maybe I'm being good for God. I cannot be certain of all my own motivations when it comes to good. I can only be certain when it comes to evil. For I know what I have done wrong, but I cannot know with certainty that I am perfect when I do right. The enemies of Saint Joan of Arc, the young maiden, the young girl, condemned to death. They were trying to entrap her. In this famous story in the life of Saint Joan of Arc, trying to get her to answer. If she answers yes, she's wrong. If she answers no, she's wrong. And so they ask her, are you in the state of grace? Are you, Joan the Maid, in the state of grace and right now a friend of God? And if she answers no, then it will be as though she is admitting that she's lying about the voices and the apparitions that she had. If she answers yes, then she is presuming against God. They've got her trapped. Are you, Joan, in the state of grace? And she answered, if I am in the state of grace, I pray God keep me there. And if I am not, I pray He put me there. This is the way we judge ourselves. It's the way St. Joan the Maid judged herself. It's the way that St. Paul judges himself. We can know with infallible certitude that our faith is true. We can know with infallible certitude that there is only one true church, and there is only one way to God. We cannot know with infallible certitude that I am perfect. The modern world has it upside down. As Bishop Sheen used to say, if there is one thing that I cannot understand about the modern world, it is the denial of the Immaculate Conception. Because everybody today is immaculately conceived, why don't they believe in the Mother of God's Immaculate Conception? In the first age in history, everyone is immaculate. Everyone believes they are immaculate. It is one of the problems of our age. We all believe we are immaculate. In a healthier age, in a more sane age, people realize that they weren't perfect. In our age, we are convinced that we are. And if something wrong happens in my life, it's the responsibility of someone else who must be held responsible, who must be thrown in jail, who must be sued. Because we don't follow the principle of St. Paul about our own practical judgment, the judgment by which we judge ourselves. I am not aware of any sin inside of myself because I don't like thinking about that. It does not mean that I am hereby justified, says St. Paul. And what about the judgment of others? When it comes to what is right and what is wrong, it is clear. We know that sin is wrong and virtue is right. That is clear. However, when it comes to the practical judgment of the sinner, how do we know all the details? We do not know the grace that he received. We do not know all the facts of the case. Maybe the facts that we have heard are just gossip. Maybe the facts that we have heard are just lies. Maybe they're facts. We cannot be certain. Let us assume that they are facts, and that we are certain that they are facts. That such and such a man did such and such an evil thing, and it is certain. We still cannot be certain in our judgment of this man, because we cannot be certain of his intention. What he was intending to do. You see, God is infallibly certain about the man's intentions. He's infallibly certain about his goodness, infallibly certain about all the morality of his actions and of my actions. But the rest of us cannot be infallibly certain about our actions. And if there is anyone that God gave the power to know and judge the actions of others, it's the priest. God gave to us, priests, the power to judge the actions of others, and furthermore, He commanded us to judge the actions of others. And the place where we do this judgment is called the confessional. We sit in judgment in the confessional. And a man comes to us and he confesses his sin. And we believe that he is sorry. We believe all kinds of things. And in the absolution, what do we say in this practical judgment? I absolve you from your sins in quantum possum et tu indiges, insofar as I can, and insofar as you need. We put a condition in the absolution. Remember, there are some sins that are reserved. For instance, if you hit the Pope, I can't absolve it. I have to receive a special permission from the Pope himself to be able to absolve the sin of hitting the Pope. Or, if you have confessed no sins, then I can't absolve that either because I have to absolve sins. You may not need the absolution of sins. And so it is that I absolve insofar as I can and insofar as you need. There is a condition placed on the practical judgment of the priest. When it comes to practical judgments, We are not absolutely certain. When it comes to theological judgments, we have total certainty. I can be certain of many things, despite the teaching of the modern skeptic, but I cannot be certain of the own state of my own soul, and I cannot be certain of the state of everyone else's soul. It is interesting how in our age, we know the state of everyone else's souls. How many of us have said, I can't believe he goes to communion. He's all smiles, but he's an evil man. I know. God alone knows. When we assume to ourselves the knowledge of God, it is a mockery of God. It will not go unnoticed by God. And that is why our Lord says to us in that sacred prayer that He taught us, and that it is a warning, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now we have many reasons to forgive the trespasses against us. God has none. God has no good reason to forgive any of us. But we have plenty of good reasons to forgive those that attack us. One of them might be, like many a husband, for instance, I can't understand, my wife never shows love to me, she never says nice words to me. Why not? I don't know, I just come home and hit her and... Gee, I don't understand. And the wife wonders why the husband is not affectionate. Maybe it's the number of times you hit him with that pot. Maybe it's the number of times you cussed him out. No, it can't be that. There's got to be another explanation. Our Lord has no reason to forgive us. But we have plenty of reasons to forgive our neighbor. And our Lord has no doubts about our intentions. But we have plenty of doubts, and we all secretly doubt even our own intentions. Secretly we doubt our own intentions because we know that we're not perfect, even if we tell everyone else that we are. And we know that very often there's a little secret motive. Girls especially know this because it's intrinsic to their nature. A girl has never done anything without a motive. There's always another reason. There's always something else. And maybe that motive is good, and maybe that motive is bad, and maybe that motive is mixed. But there's always a motive. And so we should follow the principle of St. Paul. I do not judge myself infallibly, like modern man wants to judge himself infallibly. And when it comes to others, I will wait until the time. What is this time? It's the time of the harvest. Remember that there were weeds growing amongst the wheat, and the apostles came to Christ and they said, look, there's weeds among the wheat. There's bad men here. They must be rooted out. And our Lord said, no. Do not root them out. Lest you pull up wheat along with the weeds. Wait until the harvest. When the harvest comes, then we will gather up the weeds. And we will take them out to burn. It's not the time. It is not the time. St. Paul says, wait until the time to make the judgment. And also remember this principle of judgment. Since we don't know all the facts, and since we don't know the intentions, it is necessary for us to give the benefit of the doubt. That is, to assume the best possible intentions and the best possible interpretation of the facts. This solves many miscommunication and problems in marriages, and solves many misunderstandings, and changes a home from a home of violence and wrath into a home of peace and love. How we judge. We human beings all are going to judge. We're going to make judgments. What will be the principles of our judgment? St. Paul's principles, or the principles of Lucifer? The principles of the world. We must judge as Christ. And there are times when we withhold judgment. For instance, when we don't probe into all the details. Women often want to probe into every detail, and this is not wise, nor is it from God. an example of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, a woman caught in adultery. And this woman was going to be stoned to death. He who is without sin, cast the first stone, which is the first reason why we should be careful in our judgments. As the saying goes, those who live in glass houses should not throw stones. We must remember that we all live in glass houses, and it's a very prudent reason to not throw stones. He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. They all leave. Now it is Christ and the woman in adultery alone. He does not turn to her and say, well, did you or did you not commit the adultery? Why did you do it? He simply says to her, go and sin no more. There are times in which we should not probe too deep, for our deep probing will not bring up the truth, nor will it bring up good. It will simply bring up more opportunities for the devil to twist our mind. So we must be careful in our practical judgments of ourselves and in our practical judgments of our neighbor. We are not justified because we think we're in the state of grace. And this will put into us a certain spirit of wholesome humility, a realization of the facts. Humility is an often misunderstood virtue. Humility simply means an understanding of the truth. It simply means to accept the truth. To accept the truth about myself in relation to God. And the truth is that I am a sinner. And I will accept that. But how is my sin solved? By the grace of God coming into me. And one of the effects of humility is to put confidence. We human beings must put confidence somewhere. And one of the effects of humility is to put confidence not in ourselves or in the ways and manners of the world, but to put our confidence in God and in the ways and manner of His grace. And this changes our spirit, deepens our understanding, clarifies our power of judgment. We often look too quickly and too immediately for evil in others and good in ourselves. Blinding ourselves to the evil that is in ourself and blinding ourselves to the good that is in others. It is not the way of the saint, not the way of Saint Paul, the greatest of all apostles. And if we want to be apostles, and all of us are obliged to become apostles, I am obliged more because I'm a priest, but you are also obliged to be apostles in your own degree. And we cannot be apostles without clarifying, purifying our own judgments. And making them more and more like the judgment process of St. Paul. Be not confident in your own perfection. Be not confident in the evil of others. Be confident in the infallible teaching. Be confident in the grace of God. Be confident in the power of prayer, but not in the wrong things. And then God will help us. And remember that even if our judgment is skewed, and we'll close here, and we've had a habit of many years of bad judging, put our mind in the hands of God. And ask Him this day to take it and reform it and reshape it and teach it. Teach my mind another way of thinking. Teach my mind the divine reason. And take out of my mind the reasons of the world, which are not reasons. They are insanities. I can't do it. But the grace of God can, and I know infallibly, with an infallible judgment, that His grace will always be there. And therefore, if my mind does not get straightened out in its way of judging, I will not be able to blame it on anyone else, not even upon my own ignorance. I will only be able to blame it upon my own malice, because I rejected the grace of God. And from this day forward, let us no longer reject that grace, and He will transform the way of thinking of our minds. And give us the power of judgment that St. Paul had, and the strength that St. Paul had, the fire of St. Paul, though not to the greatness of St. Paul, to some degree like unto him. And then we live happy lives, followed by eternal happiness with God in heaven. And then we are ready for the judgment of our Lord. And the only judgment we will hear when we die is, "Come to me, beloved of my Father." And let us now prepare for